high 48. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 42 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. The X account's at Locker Room 109 at Barry Sanderson at Wimp Sanderson 1. Our email address for the show is wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. You can get us through that. You can also send us an app message or download the Tide 100.9 app. We'll take those app messages and we'll read those over the air. Or the easiest way is to phone. Give us a phone call, 205-342-9904. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood would be your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer closest to you. And always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. A messy day out there this morning. So bundle up, but drive safely. Good morning, Chase. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Good morning, Dad. How are things this morning?
Doing fine. Obviously, Coach Saban thinks LSU job maybe is better than Alabama, but better than any of them. If he did recommend it to Nick that he leave, he gets $13 million. I'm not going to go into all this, but the $13 million plus the 50-something million that LSU's paying a former coach gives him a pretty good chunk to pay. You know, everybody will be looking somewhat at the BYU-Texas Tech game to see exactly where that falls. We got a lot of ifs today. The committee will announce, I think, tonight the standings, and be interesting to see exactly what happens to Notre Dame, BYU, and Miami. Those games at Vanderbilt come out. And I don't blame Clark Lee. He came out and said he felt like the discussions were biased against Vanderbilt in the committee meetings. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how happens on that. The BYU Texas Tech game will be at 11 o'clock and up in Georgia at 3 o'clock if my times are correct. I think it's correct. It's our time. So tomorrow night, Clemson and Alabama play around 6 o'clock. First of starting of the SEC versus ACC challenge, which I can give you that later on, but you don't want to hear that now. But I can give you that a little bit later on. So we're full of a lot of ifs, and we'll see what happens. That's all I have.
All right. tonight the committee will, I think they have to put the teams together. So this is before, obviously, the championship games. And really the only championship game that's really going to have any effect on the playoff is Virginia-Duke. But if Duke wins, then I guess maybe that may keep the ACC out completely. So I guess that's a factor. But then another team would get in because they'd be the five highest-ranked conference champions. So that would – and then the BYU-Texas Tech. If BYU knocks off Texas Tech, then there's some teams that have – problems. But Alabama right now from FanDuel to make the playoff, it's minus 2,000. So that tells me Alabama's going to make the playoff when you say that they're minus 2,000. And no is plus 920. So you'd have to bet 920 to win 100, I guess, there. And minus 2,000 would tell me that Vegas thinks Alabama's going to make this playoff. So we'll see. It'll clear up tonight. You know, these championship games this year, when you get to 12, when you got Ohio State and Indiana playing, they're still going to be a top four seed regardless of who wins this game. It maybe could affect their seed, maybe one slot or something. So I'm not sure how important these championship games are now they are for certain conferences, but I know they make a lot of money. Do you see them ever doing away with these championship games, or is there too much money involved in these games?
I don't know. I think money is important. And, you know, Oregon's sitting here in pretty good shape. They're waiting to see who they're going, where they're going to be. I have no idea. I think it'll be a close vote. They like to have the money because money's the factor in having being successful. I have no idea whether they'll do away with them or not. I don't think just because you've got SEC champion on your jersey means near as much as the millions of dollars that you can make from the game.
Yeah, I would think these two coaches will be trying to convince these teams at this championship. And I think for Alabama, they need it just to secure themselves in the playoffs. So maybe the game's a little bit more important to them. It's important to Georgia because they're tired of hearing the Alabama stuff. I want to clear this up. People make me laugh. People are mad because Coach Saban evidently encouraged Lane to take this job. Like, well, he works for the University of Alabama. Guys, do you not think that Lane Kiffin picked up the phone and called Kirby Smart and got his opinion about the job? These guys are friends. And so just because you work for a university, coaches talk all the time. I guarantee you Summerall and Lane Kiffin were talking back and forth, and Summerall was trying to figure out what he said that they were good friends in his press conference, and said they talked a lot during this process. He's trying to he knows Lane is going to control a lot of this stuff. So if Lane chose Florida, then that was going to open up maybe LSU there. So these coaches talk, and for people to be mad because Coach Saban would tell Lane that LSU is a really good job, and, you know, follow your heart. If you want to win championships, you got a better chance there. That happens every single day. And so you're mad at Kirby Smart? Is he being disloyal to Georgia? Because he probably, I'm saying he told him, but I guarantee you these guys, all these coaches talk that are friends behind the scenes about these jobs, don't they?
Yeah, they do. If they don't, they talk through their agents. There are times that you talk through your agent a little bit, and I think sometimes it takes a little bit of the crap off of you from fans who get upset about that. I think that occurs occasionally, but there are times that they don't talk, but basically these people have talked a lot. You know, I think Summerall getting the Florida job, I think he's, I don't know, I thought maybe he might get the Auburn job. I hope Auburn got the right kind of person. It's a lot of this stuff is wait and see. As most of you know, they're trying to hire a coach from BYU at Penn State. Kentucky's going to go after the offensive coordinator at Oregon. And, you know, the gamble a little bit there. So all up for, you know, if you get mad about Nick Saban getting a paycheck from Alabama and saying something good about LSU to Lane Kiffin, there's no point in getting mad about that.
Yeah, that's just silly. The word on the street or through the social media is that Jimmy Sexton was mad at how Penn State handled James Franklin. And so he's kind of making their situation harder than it needs to be as far as hiring a coach there. So, you know, these schools, and I guess James Franklin's one of Jimmy Sexton's clients, I assume, if he's mad about it. So Jimmy Sexton is controlling a lot. I heard Lane said at the press conference that he knew his contract was going to be obviously good and better than what he had at Ole Miss, but he was more worried about the money for his coaches and the money for his NIL, because he says you can't be a good coach with, you know, and he has an advantage if he tries to poach these Ole Miss players. He knows what every player at Ole Miss is getting. So that would be a clear advantage. It almost ought to be a rule there. If a coach leaves and you follow him, you have to sit out a year or something, because he can go raid their entire roster just about, because he knows exactly what those guys are getting. And so I think Ole Miss is going to have to bump their NIL up a lot, because Kiffin will come after those guys, the ones that they want to keep, and they're obviously going to pay their head coach a lot less. So the money that these guys are throwing around, it's just crazy, in my opinion, how high. What is the ceiling? Is there a ceiling to all this? Because it continues to go up each year.
Well, it's kind of a joke to me to see that they say they're going to bring it to a close and this, that, the other. Some people are cheating with it. I don't know what cheating means exactly. So it's right now Lane Kiffin's trying to decide what he's going to do about a defensive coordinator too. He knows that, of course, the defense coordinator is going to stay and coach Ole Miss. There's just a lot of questions that we have, and our listeners are interested in telling their opinion. We're glad for you to do so. It's going to be, you know, as Barry's mentioned, you find out, you know everything about Ole Miss as far as their money, their abilities, everything, and you move to a place that is their most heated rival, with the exception of Mississippi State. And that's, you know, that's a pretty good deal for Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. All right. We'll take the first break, open up the phone lines. We'll get to the phone lines. Kevin Skarbinski will join us at the bottom of the hour. Yeah, I listened a little bit of Summerall. I thought he was pretty good in the press conference. The guy at Auburn, he was okay. I guess if you don't win the press conference, then you really got a problem. So I'm sure he'll do fine. Two-man truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to prepare for this move. Whether it's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let them take the stress away. Give them a call today. These guys will take great care of you and all of your stuff. 205-247-5050. That is Two Men in a Truck. Movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Applications are being accepted through January 16th in the search for a new Tuscaloosa City School Superintendent with the coming retirement of Dr. Mike Deria. The city's board will take applications for 45 days. Candidate interviews are scheduled for January 26th through the 30th. The board hopes to announce the new superintendent by February 2nd. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, despite the rain, traffic is not doing too shabby right now. If you are moving on 43 southbound onto McFarland, that intersection has its usual delays. Up in Northport, 69 southbound at Union Chapel Road, that's starting to thicken up just a skosh. And we've got 15th Street moving along at Post.
Mine. Call the Tom Hanna Agency today for a quote at 205-462-8192 or visit alphainsurance.com/Tom Hanna today.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Paver patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We're forecasting gradual clearing today, the high at 48. A cold night tonight, clear with the low at 25. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 52. Thursday, cloudy and very cool. Some rain at times during the day, the high 48. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The
flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the locker room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, tonight, ACC, SEC shootout starts. I guess that's what they call it in basketball. Real quick before we get to fill up the matchups tonight, Tennessee goes to Syracuse. Virginia Tech travels to South Carolina. Oklahoma goes to Wake Forest. Texas A&M travels to Pittsburgh. Florida will travel to Duke, Miami to Ole Miss, Georgia to Florida State, Miami, Notre Dame, and North Carolina, Kentucky. We'll round it out. Then tomorrow, obviously, Alabama takes on Clemson, which I thought Alabama maybe deserved maybe a higher profile game than Clemson, but we'll see. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Phillip?
Yeah, morning. Good morning. Good morning, you two friends of mine. Yeah, I agree with you. I was sort of hoping Alabama would get a different draw, but Barry, I'm going to say something that might surprise you and Coach. Alabama's going to win this game Saturday.
Really? Why?
I've examined it, and I know Georgia's got an outstanding, truly outstanding football team. I think, as crazy as it sounds, as this year's gone along, and Georgia had about a 5-week run right there where I felt like they were the best team in the nation, and I think they felt that way too. And we sort of hit a period of time there where we began to struggle some. I think Georgia, as hard as it may be for people to believe, I think Georgia may be taking this squad a little for granted. I think Alabama's going to come out with a whole different mindset and be extremely aggressive. We are going to miss Josh Quavis. That's going to be a blow. But I just feel like Alabama's going to come out with an attack that could give Kirby some problems as far as defending the pass. I look for Ryan Williams to get completely involved in the game this week. I just feel good about the game. And I know that's a lot of generalization, but I just feel good about it.
But I didn't feel good about the Auburn game either. Towards the end of the week, I felt like Alabama would probably win. I was not thinking they would. And then, you know, the game, obviously, they jumped out on them. Then they held on for victory there. I worry about Alabama being beat up. And I don't know that Georgia – I don't follow their program nearly as close. I don't know that they're as beat up as – Alabama. Alabama's depth has taken a big hit. Not that we run the ball that much, but that running back room is depleted. Mm-hmm. Your tight end room's depleted. I guess your defense is not that. I don't know. You have the same – what feeling you got on it, Dad?
I don't feel real good about it. I think Georgia's not as good as they have been. I think he's correct on that. They play so darn hard. And they're so having the abilities to change things as the game goes along. Their staff, I think, does a really good job of changing things that are hurting Georgia technique-wise. And that scares me a little bit. Not that Alabama doesn't have a good staff. They do. But I just think that, you know, they're so darn defensive-minded, and it's surprised to me the defensive assistant hadn't gotten a head job. That scares me a little bit. Phillip, he can be dead right. You know, he has a great feel for it. He studies it. I don't have a real good feel for it, personally.
I think everybody's trying to figure out about Ryan Williams. How about if Isaiah Horton and those guys have just passed him? Horton caught three. Exactly. We don't talk about the guys that improved. We talk about, I mean, the guy drops a lot of footballs. He may be dropping them in practice too. So I think the other guys, not that there's I think those guys may just be better. Sometimes when you have a great freshman year, you read all your press clippings, and I'm not saying this is the case, but you don't work quite as hard as you used to. Didn't you get a lot more money? So money brings you a lot more opportunities to do things, and so your work ethic sometimes it diminishes a little bit. That could be what happened. These guys are just they're outplaying him right now. So you play the best players, Philip.
That's exactly right. I mean that's probably what has happened. I will say I think Ryan has been on the injured list a little bit more than people realize, and you know, there have been quite a few weeks where he's been listed as probable, you know, and that type thing. I mean, he appears on that list, but you're right. Those two guys, Bernard and Horton, have played really, really good going down the stretch, and have been a huge asset.
Brooks has played well. Brooks is a good player.
Why have we played with Williams not getting a pass at all?
These guys are maybe better.
His chances have just dropped, I guess. But I'll say this too, Barry, about what I said about Alabama winning Saturday. I think Alabama can tackle their runners, and I think we can defend their passing attack adequately enough to win this game. And I think we can do some things on offense, even though Jam and Kevin Riley are out. You talk about terrible timing. that it couldn't have happened at the worst time. But Alabama does have a cadre of backs that will be able to advance the offense that we run against the Georgia Bulldogs. So it's not like they're not going to be able to field a contingent of backs. And I think A.K. Deere will be involved in that and get some meaningful carries in this game.
Yeah.
Why do you feel that way since it hadn't happened before?
What hadn't happened before?
I mean, they haven't had a bunch of backs that really have done well except the one that's hurt.
Well, I guess what I tried to say, and I may not have said it correctly, I just feel like the backs that we've got will complement our offense just fine Saturday night, and we'll be able to overcome the loss of Jam and Kevin Riley. If the line blocks like they did the other night, they blocked pretty well the other night.
I didn't think they'd beat Georgia in Athens, and they did. So, because I have a lot of belief in Kirby Smart, and I know he's sick of losing to Alabama, somehow he's got to get that monkey off his back. I hope it's not this weekend. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. Got a couple minutes before we get to Kevin. What's up, JD?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. So just to cover a couple quick things, you know, Ryan Williams hadn't really been the same since he took a pretty good shot at that Florida State game. I can't help but to wonder if it, you know, maybe mentally shook him up. I've seen spurts here and there where, you know, he's shown progress and then sometimes shown regress. I really hope he can get together and be a great asset that I know he can be. Point number two, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly with Alabama, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's beat up. We went through an absolute gauntlet. You know, we slipped off the tightrope on the first game. We come out, we play an absolutely daunting schedule. One thing that nobody really talks about is the fact that, you know, LSU, we hit LSU with LSU having 2 weeks to prepare. We hit Oklahoma having 2 weeks to prepare. And we gave Oklahoma that game, by the way, with the 3 turnovers. But then we go to an Auburn and everybody's like, Auburn's not that good. Well, if we go back and look at the stat sheet, Auburn's played everybody very close all year long. They were very close to being, you know, point-wise, an undefeated team. Nobody has absolutely dominated them or blowed them out. Their defense is phenomenal. But running through this rigmarole of really great defenses that we've had, Alabama is pretty beat up. Now, you look at the flip side of the coin. And you look at somebody like Ohio State, who had a struggle win against three-loss Texas, you know, which, you know, of course, they were one of the winners in that game. But, yeah, you have a two-loss, three-loss SEC team in Texas that gives Ohio State its best game of the year. But all hail Ohio State, you know. With that being said, I think the SEC is not mediocre like everybody's saying. I still think they're the king of the roast. And I really hope that we can overcome the injuries and go out there and put the hammer down on Georgia. The biggest thing, though, is if we get a lead, we've got to hold on to it. Defense has to play lights out. We can't let Georgia have a second half comeback if we can jump out on them.
Great call, JD. Great points. Thank you, sir. All right, and then think about next year. You're going to 9 conference games. You're beat up. You got to play Eastern Illinois to get your legs back under him. Well, you're going to 9 next year, so that'll be even more as you get ready. All right, we'll get to Kevin when we get back. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, despite the rain, traffic is not doing too shabby right now. If you are moving on 43 southbound onto McFarland, that intersection has its usual delays. Up in Northport, 69 southbound at Union Chapel Road, that's starting to thicken up just a skosh. And we've got 15th Street moving along.
Sale of the year ends on December 7th. For just a few more days, you can get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the locker room, Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern, but doesn't have the yellow tag on it. You don't want it. It's Tuesday to the Yellowwood hotline. He's a writer with AL.com. Got the podcast Scarbo Knows. Does an absolutely great job. Joins us every Tuesday. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. Good morning, guys. I'm good. Hope you are too.
We're good. Go ahead, Ed.
In a championship game, should the loser of a championship game be knocked out of having an opportunity to play in the 12? You know what I'm saying. Should there be a rule? Is that championship game that important that we have to have it? Just talk about that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. I have two schools of thought on this. One is, I'm old school, and I think it's important to win the SEC championship. I think that's something special. It's always been something special. But I fear it's not as special as it used to be because of the playoff. And I fear that if a team has a great season and gets into the championship game in a Power Four conference, particularly in the SEC or the Big 12 or the Big Ten, and gets beat in that game, particularly by a team that it beat earlier in the year and gets left out of the playoff, then the championship games have outlived their usefulness. And the commissioners, while they love money and they love the money these games generate, they're going to have to take a hard look at continuing these games. Because, let's be honest, the playoff has eclipsed everything. It's eclipsed these games in particular. Now, the regular season still matters, and we've seen, you know, that was one of the concerns, that the larger the playoff becomes, the less important every game in the regular season becomes. But that really hasn't been the case, because it just gives more teams an opportunity to get into the playoff, and then it creates more meaningful games. But look at the Big Ten, for example, this week. Number one is playing number two. And it means almost nothing.
Last week, I was adamant that Alabama beat Auburn. They were in the playoff. Then I started studying the rankings, and then I got scared. If they're 10 and BYU beats Texas Tech, there may be a problem there. So yesterday I backed off of it. But today, Kevin, I look at FanDuel, and Alabama's minus 2,000 to make the playoff. That tells me they're a lock to make the playoffs. They're minus 2,000 to make the playoffs. So Vegas knows something there. Where do you think Alabama will be ranked today? And why is Alabama minus 2,000 to make the playoffs?
Well, that's your first problem, looking at FanDuel or any betting site.
But
those folks, they're about getting people to bet money. That's all they're about. And look, the house always wins. Don't get me started on a rant.
Yeah,
about
but minus 2,000.
How gambling has infiltrated its way into sports and clouded it in so many ways. Look, the only thing that matters is what that committee does. And it is going to be very interesting to see tonight what that committee does. And we should also remind people that what they do tonight does not bind them to what they must do on Sunday. They could change their mind between now and Sunday. And they certainly will have different, more results to use to make that final determination. But the one thing that concerns me from Alabama's standpoint is that committee seems to think Notre Dame is a better football team than Alabama and deserves to be in the playoff more than Alabama does. I think that's a travesty. And I think at some point, and this could be the tipping point, the Big Four, Power Four commissioners are going to have to ask themselves, why do you continue to allow one school to have an massive advantage over everyone else in the country? They don't have to play conference games, and conference games are different. They don't have to, they set their own schedule, game 1 through 12. No one else does that plays in a conference, because they are beholden by the conference to the schedule that they play. And I could go on and on, but Notre Dame gets it, and not to mention all the money they get to keep from their playoff appearances, while other schools have to share with their conferences. It's ludicrous on its face. And if Alabama loses this game and doesn't get blown out of the stadium, certainly, and gets left out of the playoff, while Notre Dame, that essentially hasn't played anybody after the first two games when it started 0-2 against the two best teams it played, and then it had one solid win over USC and not much else on its resume, they've beaten up on a bunch of tomato cans. And if they get in there over Alabama, which had the best four-week stretch of anybody ever in the middle of the season, that seems to have gotten lost on a lot of people, then they're going to have to rethink the whole system.
But I don't agree that after tonight, the rankings really not – I mean, tell me which game other than BYU and Texas Tech that really matter towards this playoff. Now, Alabama, obviously, they beat Georgia. They're in. But I don't see these teams – moving at all. Now, if Duke beats Virginia, then the ACC is probably going to be shut out, and you're going to have two
group of five
in the playoffs. Yeah. So that's not going to really add a Notre Dame or a Alabama there. So this weekend, I don't think it's going to hardly do anything for the rankings.
Well, you may be right. Look, this committee has been really hard to understand, and the explanations from Hunter Yurecek have just been baffling and mind-boggling each week when he appears on the show. So, but that BYU-Texas Tech game is maybe even more important than the Alabama-Georgia game.
Yeah.
Because everybody that's on the bubble needs to cheer for Texas Tech. You do not need BYU as the conference champion, which gives them the automatic berth, and then you have Texas Tech sitting there looking with two losses, but they've been ranked so high, the committee clearly thinks very highly of them. Then you're like, if you have two Big 12 teams in this field, somebody is getting knocked out.
Yeah.
And that somebody could be Alabama. I don't think it should be. I don't think it will be, but it could be.
Yeah. That.
Kind of a silly couple of questions. Could Coach Saban refrain from saying to Lane what he thinks about the LSU job that shoves him there, since coach is getting paid at Alabama. And once Lane gets there, should he have the right to tinker with the cost, knowing the cost of what they got for Ole Miss, get some of Ole Miss's players to their biggest rival except State? Those two things, kind of corny, but kind of realistic too.
No, nothing corny about those two things, Wimp, I would say. First of all, this is what Lane Kiffin does because he's a child. He implies that, he said it, somebody told him, that reminded him that LSU was the best job in the country. He didn't say who somebody was. A lot of people are inferring that that somebody was Nick Saban. Now, it's one thing for Nick Saban to offer some personal advice to Lane Kiffin. But if, A, he told Lane Kiffin that LSU is the best job in the country while getting paid $500,000 a year by Alabama with his name on the field, that's a problem. Why is that a problem?
Why is that a problem?
Why is that a problem?
You don't think he called Kirby Smart and asked Kirby Smart what he thinks about the LSU job?
Who would have called Kirby Smart?
I mean, coaches talk all the time. You don't think Lane was
going to call Kirby and say, Kirby, man, I'm torn here.
What should I do? And Kirby's going to say, man, Lane, for recruiting, you got to go to LSU. I mean, these guys talk all the time.
No, I know. I'm aware. They have a text. What is it? Sark, Kiffin, yeah. and Kirby have a text chain that they chat on regularly. I'm saying from Nick Saban, that's just a reputational thing for Nick Saban. It's what you say and how you say it. And the bigger issue to me, and I don't know that it's an issue, but people are suggesting, Peter Burns has been highly suggesting this from the SEC Network, and other people have, I think Matt Moscona in LSU, he's a radio mouthpiece down there. I think he said, flat out said it, that LSU paid Nick Saban to consult on their coaching search. That's a real conflict of interest. If you're getting paid by Alabama and a direct competitor of Alabama paid you as a consultant on, I don't know that it's true. Someone needs to clear it up. Someone needs to clear this up, because the amount of conflicts of interest that have been exposed throughout this whole sorted episode, the guys on ESPN, the national reporters, the ones who have said, "Oh, you got to let Lane coach through the playoffs. That's no big deal." That may be the most asinine suggestion in the history of college football to allow him to work for your rival.
Kevin, I
agree 100% with you. That's asinine. But and you and Dad are going to get mad at me. I really, when Ole Miss says they meet with him and they say, now Saturday we got to know, because we got to get a coach in place. The signing dates on Wednesday. The signing dates and all that created this situation. Firing guys as early as they fire them now created this situation. That's not Lane Kiffin. That's a bad system. I don't know how Lane Kiffin, if he wanted to take this job, I don't know how he could have done it any different, to be quite honest with you. He met with them. He tried to stay and coach the team. I understand Ole Miss not letting him, but he's getting killed, and I don't know what he could have done differently. Tell me.
What could he have done differently?
Yeah.
He could have been a man and done what every coach preaches to every athlete in every sport. Finish the job. Finish the drill. Run through the line. Touch the line. Finish. That is a mantra among coaches. Cole Kubelik had a great
rant on it yesterday. But you're not saying that about the guy at Tulane.
He is going to finish
the job. Because they're letting him.
He is
going to
finish the job.
But they're letting him. Lane wanted to finish the job.
Barry, surely you understand the difference between Tulane and Florida and Ole Miss and LSU.
But when you say finish
you're much smarter than that. Come on.
When you say finish
the job. That's apples and anvils.
But when you say finish the job, he was willing to finish the job. And Ole Miss correctly said no.
No. You can't let him that's just
I agree.
It.
I agree to that.
You cannot finish the job. What about saying, okay, all right, you're Lane Kiffin. You're already making, what, $9, $10 million a year. You have created a team that has a chance to win a national championship, which is, I imagine, it's supposed to be your goal as a major college football coach. And you have put yourself in position to do that. And you just have to say to LSU, I can't accept this job right now. I have a job to do, and this job is not done. And I can't say yes. I can't come down there and do a press conference. I can't start recruiting for you. I have a job at Ole Miss, and that job is the most important thing in the world to me. This is where my heart is. The timing is bad. I'm sorry. I can't do it right now. And he should have said the same thing to Florida. Well, he did basically say, well, he didn't say it to Florida. He just chose LSU over Florida. But if he were a grown-up, if he were about the team, if he cared about those players, that's what he would have done. And let me give you a parallel that has some validity. Not exactly apples to apples, but when Nick Saban was made aware early on, before Alabama fired Mike Shula, that Alabama was interested in hiring him, there was one ironclad part of those behind-the-scenes conversations. Nick Saban would not, under any circumstances, talk to Alabama, let alone accept the job and give them a definite yes, while he was coaching the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah,
season.
But
wait. They weren't going to the playoffs. They weren't competing for a Super Bowl. But he made it clear he was going to finish the job with his team. Then he would talk to them. Then he would consider. And it wasn't 100% certain. It was certainly leaning strongly in that direction when Mal Moore got on that plane to go to South Florida. But Nick Saban was a man. He was a grown-up. He was a leader. He finished the job with his team, and then he turned his attention fully to that other opportunity. That's what Lane Kiffin should have done.
But I don't. You're not dealing with the same college football now. The portal was not like this. The signing date was not this Wednesday. Your whole roster couldn't leave. And so I don't think you're comparing the same jobs. Now, college football has completely changed, and the system has caused this, Kevin. It has, if you want to
ask. No, there's two parts to this. The system, yes, helped cause it, but ultimately Lane Kiffin caused it, thinking he could have his cake and eat it too. How could anyone as intelligent, and look, he's an intelligent guy. He's a snake, but he's an intelligent snake. How could anyone believe that you could do those two things? That you could stay in Oxford. You could go to Baton Rouge. You could have a press conference. You could talk about, I talked to Ed Orgeron on the phone, and I wanted to start talking like you guys. All this nonsense and fluff. And talk about how great a job LSU is, and it's the best job in the country. But after the press conference, I'm going to get on a plane, go back to Oxford, and I'm going to put my heart and soul into leading Ole Miss toward a national championship. That's nonsense, and you know it. And we saw an example of it when he was at Alabama. He was a coordinator at Alabama who was taking a job at Florida Atlantic, and he couldn't focus on both jobs and do both jobs.
Yeah,
he couldn't handle it.
But okay,
there was no way he could have handled this, and there's no way anyone could have handled that.
Keith Carter could have handled it differently. He deadlined him. He told him, "I got to know Saturday. I have to know Saturday." He could have just let him coach it out. Hey, I'm not talking about any other jobs. I don't want to fool with any other jobs. We'll talk at the end of the season. So Ole Miss has some here, too. They deadlined him. They made him make a decision for the best of their program, right?
Ole Miss did what it should have done for Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin, look, there's one villain here. Well, you want to say the system? Yeah, the system is screwed up. The calendar is a joke, and they need to get it right. And they talk, and I don't want to hear one more person complain about what players are making or player movement. Are you kidding me? You see what LSU, if this thing weren't sorted enough, they're going to, they apparently in this contract, they're going to pay any playoff bonus he would have earned at Ole Miss if they win games in advance in the playoff. LSU's going to pay that? Are you kidding me?
That's Jimmy Sexton.
Ole Miss
is
going to pay it.
Ole Miss, no. LSU is going to pay Lane Kiffin.
No, LSU is going to pay it. It's in the contract.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It was reported yesterday.
Yeah. I think that's smart by his agent. He. I mean, I can't believe they agreed to it, but they did.
And the cartoon character that is the governor of Louisiana, who went off on that rant about fiscal responsibility. We ain't doing another contract like this, boys. We ain't having these big buyouts in there, boys. Well, yeah, that changed. His tune changed really quick when he got involved with Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah. I don't know.
I agree.
You agree what?
I agree with what Kevin said. Can you believe that?
If you wanted to take the LSU job, and let's be honest, the LSU's job is better than the Ole Miss football job. The LSU is much better job. So it's not going to open again probably in the next, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And who knows what's going to. So you're only hot so long, and so they got to put a system in place to where these coaches can't even move until the season's over. It's a bad system. I think the guy was put in a bad spot there,
put himself in a bad spot.
And I don't blame him for trying.
He allowed himself to be put in a bad spot.
So, but he wouldn't have gotten the LSU job had he did what you said, because LSU couldn't wait.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Barry. Look at the records since 2020 when Lane Kiffin got to Ole Miss. Tell me who has who's third in the SEC in victories, conference victories behind Alabama and Georgia. Is it LSU? No, it's Ole Miss.
Yeah, but which is a better job?
It's a different world. It's a different world. We have to get out of that mentality that, well, LSU.
Kevin.
LSU's won four. Hold on a second. LSU, the greatest job. LSU's won four national championships. Yeah, they've won three since 2003, but they've won four in their history.
Kevin.
This ain't Alabama that we're talking about.
Kevin.
I mean, we're talking about LSU like Governor Cartoon Landry could walk in there and coach this team to a national championship.
Kevin, what's the better job, LSU?
It's a different world.
What's a better job, LSU or Ole Miss?
Lane Kiffin made Ole Miss a better job by the job he did.
But what
Lane Kiffin won more games at Ole Miss in the same conference than LSU did.
Who's going to have more money to
and
pay
Brian
recruits?
Kelly, for all his flaws, is not a bad football coach.
What's a better state to recruit, Louisiana or Mississippi?
Yeah, Louisiana, because you're the big dog. And they've got more players per capita, more NFL, future NFL players per capita.
And they got a bigger stadium, and so it's a better job, right?
Well, that's what people say. All I know is what has been the better program since 2020.
And here is
not
the
LSU.
It's when Nick Saban took.
Oh, and guess what? If Lane Kiffin doesn't win a national championship in 3 years, how do you think those people that are all kissing his ring right now are going to feel about him?
And you think he cares? I mean, he's got that contract.
I think he does care. Look, all these guys care. Now he may be a soulless snake. But even Nick Saban, who people thought was a coaching terminator and not totally human, he it bothered the hell out of him. The clapback he got particularly in Miami when he said he wasn't going to be the Alabama coach, and then he became the Alabama coach. These guys are human. Now Kiffin, I'm not so sure.
Well, all right. So when Nick Saban took the Alabama job, Alabama was low. They were desperate. That's where LSU is now. So a guy going in there. Right now, Pete Golding, what he's got to do over there to try to compete with what Lane Kiffin did, virtually impossible to compete with what Lane Kiffin did. When Lane Kiffin gets over there to LSU, man, if they start scoring and winning 9 and 10 games first few years, he's going to be a hero over there. It's where the jobs
are. He's not going to be a hero. No. Let me differ. He's not going to be a hero if he wins 9, 10 games. He's only going to be a hero if he gets in the playoff and he delivers a national championship. And by the way, who was the best recruiter on the Ole Miss staff? Wasn't Lane Kiffin.
Ben Franklin.
Lane Kiffin doesn't like to recruit. This is something people don't realize or don't talk about or don't understand. He does not like to recruit. He doesn't work hard in recruiting. Pete Golding is a recruiting demon. P- beat Colding, and that's why Nick Saban kept him around when he didn't have the greatest defenses in the country, and their defense at Alabama did fall off. It went from great to very good. Didn't fall off terribly, but it did fall off some. But Pete Golding is an excellent recruiter. He has a lot of Kirby in him in that regard. I'm not saying he's the next Kirby Smart. I have no idea how good a head coach he'll be. But he is a far better high school recruiter than Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, but they're not recruiting anymore, Kevin. They're buying.
If Indiana beats Ohio State, Lane will get a call from Ohio State and he'll come.
The most comical thing, we talked about this last week. The most comical thing about all of this is these clueless. The collective IQ of the sports media has dropped massively in the last decade or so. All of these people suggesting, well, what Lane was really doing, well, you know why he was holding out. He was hoping that Auburn would beat Alabama. He was hoping that Kalen DeBoer would get frustrated and go to Penn State so he could get the Alabama job. And as I told you last week, Lane Kiffin won't get the Alabama job until there are a whole bunch of funerals of some prominent Alabama supporters, and that ain't happening anytime soon. So that's the most comical part of this whole thing. But I will say this, he will do this. How many times does a snake have to bite you before you realize it's a snake? He did it. He did it to the Raiders. He did it to Tennessee. He's done it. He did it to Alabama. He's done it virtually everywhere he's been. And guess what? Maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, the Raiders come calling. The Cowboys come calling. Somebody else comes calling. And Lane Kiffin does the same thing to LSU that he did to all those other programs.
Yeah, but you know what, Kevin? You want people to want your coach.
I don't want Lane Kiffin.
You don't want Hugh Freeze.
If I'm an AD, if I'm a trustee, if I'm a college president, I want no part of Lane Kiffin and what he stands for.
If he's advancing like he is, then that means he's winning, right? I mean, he went backwards, obviously, when he left USC, came here. But after that, he's going up, you know. On the field,
he's done a great job. You cannot deny it.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, a lot of fans and a lot of prominent people would throw a parade for Satan if he brought him a national championship.
Kevin, Barry said he'd grown up.
I think he has.
He's grown up.
I think y'all are being too hard on him.
I didn't realize that you were as naive as you're coming across in this situation.
I think Lane Kiffin has grown up? No, I think...
Why? Because he does hot yoga? Because he's lost weight? Because he allegedly has stopped drinking? Because he's all about family and all of his family moved to Oxford? Oh, it's a lovely story. Let's let ESPN do a 60-minute special on it. Lane Kiffin's not about money. He didn't even ask Jimmy Sexton what his contract was. And if you believe that, pull this other leg, it plays jingle bells.
I mean, he knew it was more than what he was making. I think you just don't like him. So whatever he did was not going to be right.
You bet. Yeah. I think I've made that abundantly clear, haven't I?
It doesn't matter what he does. He's not going to be right in your eyes. You're going to find the negative side. And that's fine.
I gave him credit for what he's accomplished on the field. I fully acknowledge he is a good football coach, and he's done a heck of a job at Ole Miss.
Kevin, I couldn't even get you to say LSU's a better football job than Ole Miss, and you know it is. You know it is.
It has a lot of advantages. No, I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that.
We didn't even get to find out if Auburn hired a good coach. Did they before you go? Who knows?
Look, how many times do we see this cycle repeat itself? He has promise. He's done some good things. He's also 1-7 in 3 years at South Florida against teams in that conference that finished the season with a winning record. So for all the positives I can put out there, I can also put out some question marks. They didn't win the conference in the 3 years he was there. They spend more money than anybody else in the conference on their football program. That's why they've been able to, and he's done a good job using that money, that he's been able to take advantage of that. And so he's done good things. But I will tell you this, and I don't know if DJ Durkin's going to be his defensive coordinator, but I do know this, DJ Durkin and a lot of other defensive coordinators don't want to work with a guy who plays that kind of tempo offense and leaves your defense hanging out to dry, because your numbers aren't going to look real impressive when you coach defense with a head coach like that.
All right, if you want to hear bad things about Lane Kiffin, Kevin, tell them where they can find you.
if you think this was a spirited, you should listen to my podcast, which it took me all day to get it done yesterday. I had some technical difficulties, but it is on YouTube.
He's grown up.
He's growing up.
YouTube, Kevin Skarbinski - Scarbo Knows. Check out my latest episode. And then, of course, check out my columns on AL.com.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. He's wrong. All right, we'll take this break. Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. I do think he's grown up. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are rolling slow on 43 southbound at McFarland. And so those intersection delays are typical. And moving about the rest of the area, looking at Northport on 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road. You also pretty much have your basic travels there as well. Along with Lurleen Wallace northbound onto McFarland. We do still have rain in the area, so do be careful. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
And New England, the Patriots won again. 10 straight victories for them after beating the Giants 33-15. The lead was 30-7 at the half. The Giants are 0-8 on the road this year, 2-11 overall. Drake May with two touchdown passes, 282 yards. Lions star wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown did not practice due to a sprained ankle. Detroit plays this Thursday hosting Dallas. The Mets gave reliever Devin Williams a three-year deal. U.S. women's soccer won its final exhibition of the year, 2-0 over Italy in Fort Lauderdale. NHL wins for Buffalo and Anaheim. The NBA's late game went to Phoenix, ending the Lakers' seven-game win streak, 125-108. Luka Doncic with 38 points, 9 turnovers in defeat. Dallas won at Denver, 131.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Forecasting gradual clearing today, the high at 48. A cold night tonight, clear with the low at 25. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 52. Thursday, cloudy and very cool. Some rain at times during the day, the high 48. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson. A father-son duo with decades of coaching experience. Breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Yeah, welcome back to the second hour Inside the Locker Room. Fun conversation there with Kevin. We'll just agree to disagree. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com if you want to look at the new inventory, the pre-inventory. You want to schedule service, rent a Toyota, try it before you buy it. Order a part, you can do it right there. If you want to start the process of you're trading in, you know kind of what you want. They can give you a ballpark of what you can get for your vehicle. But swing by Skyland Boulevard, find Justin, and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. Tuscaloosa Toyota, the absolute best dealership in this area, not even close. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Tom?
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Coach.
How are you, Tom?
Good morning. Good morning, Tom.
I'm good, and thanks for taking my call. Fantastic radio this morning. I thought that was a great debate.
Who won?
You know, I'm going to have to give a nod to Kevin on this one. He had some really strong, and you did too. You had strong points.
I mean, you can't compare when Nick Saban took the Alabama job as to how college football was then to what college football
is
now.
He lost that point. That's pro versus college.
Yeah.
NIL versus transfer portal. apples to oranges on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a good debate to listen to, and but I've got a take I want to throw in there, and something that was brought up, but the conversation evolved past that, and it's a question for you and Coach.
Okay.
When I look comedy of horror, and I read the definition. Dang if I ain't looking at that going on in college football right now. Football.
Yeah, I mean, true. Pull it back even more. Why? What are you talking? What are you referring to?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Coach Saban said this, Lane said that, Mark, what's his name, said something on and on. It's a different, you know, just a jumbled up bunch of mess that's really funny, you know, because it's crazy. And but it's, and then sad too, that's the horror part, because of college football has gotten to the point of this. You know, it used to be a real ethical thing among coaches, coaches and players, administration and program, so forth and so on. And it was very ethical and, you know, kind of a buttoned up kind of a business, but it's not that anymore.
You know, I forgot what my point was. You know, college football.
Comedy of horror.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I don't believe this. When Kevin said, because some writer said it, that LSU paid Coach Saban to consult. Do you think that LSU need to know that Lane Kiffin was the guy they wanted to hire? They didn't need a consultant to figure that out. They had to figure out how to get him. They're not looking for coaches from Coach Saban. They already know who the best coaches out there are.
Coach Saban needs the money.
Yeah, he's broke.
That's funny. Well, I will say this, though. Coach Saban probably, well, he said it on game day the other day, that he said the decision that has to be made by Lane was, do you want to stay at Ole Miss and build your team every year through the portal, or do you want to go to LSU that notoriously has been famous for the lucrative recruiting grounds in South Louisiana, and build your team from the high school level and supplement it with a little bit of players from the portal? Now, that's what Coach Saban said on game day. And he said that's the decision he's got to make. And
but I mean, everybody can say.
I think that's the same advice he gave Lane over the phone.
Well, he said that he could have stayed and saw it out. Well, Ole Miss deadlined him. He couldn't have stayed. So he tried to do right. What the coach Tulane did. And I get why they didn't let him.
I don't blame Ole Miss.
Yeah, I don't blame him. But I mean, he tried to do it. He tried to do it. That was so Ben blame Keith Carter and the Ole Miss administration for deadlining him. Maybe if he'd stayed there and they kept winning, he would have fell back. He wouldn't have gone to LSU. But they deadlined, which no, I agree they had to.
That ain't right.
I'm probably not.
Well, I'm going to tell you something else about Coach Saban. Now, he performed very good at Alabama. We all love him. We appreciate what he did. But at the very core of Coach Saban, he has that's in there too, but this goes even further, the coach, and you'll agree with this. He has a disdain for Alabama ever since Fran went to Baton Rouge and beat his ass like a government mule. And right after that, he took off of Miami, denied that.
So you're saying he has a what?
He doesn't. Alabama ain't his favorite thing. He said a lot of times he wished he'd never left LSU. And he's kind of got it in for Alabama because of that whipping he had to take from Coach Fran.
No, come on, Tom. You think he thinks about
nothing?
I mean, he remembers that game. He remembers that game.
Nothing in Baton Rouge.
But when these guys call each other. Coaches know the best jobs. All right, Kevin can talk about Ole Miss has done better the last three. over the history of college football. There's not, the Ole Miss job and the LSU job, they're not even close. It's not even close. And to try to...
When he got on that phone with Lane, he said, this one's for you, friend. Yeah. That 31 to nothing whipping you run me out of Baton Rouge to Miami with, this is for you.
Yeah, well... He got to Miami real quick and missed Terry all of a sudden realized, I can go to the grocery store and nobody knows who I am. We got to get back to a college town.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, I want to say you have a great discussion.
Only like what you said is he won. He didn't win that argument. Maybe in your eyes. But.
Well, I could go down and chart the points one by one, but we don't have enough time.
There you go. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. Go to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Hey, Dan.
Morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. How are you, Dan?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I mean, I got a couple points. First off is, I watched Lane's presser, his little introductory deal.
Yeah.
And, gosh almighty. I have no confidence in that boy at all. He was more of a pity party than an introductory press conference. He was pitiful. And I just really, as a parent, I sure wouldn't want him, you know, coaching my kid. Wouldn't trust him to coach my kid. He's a very, very good, if not great, offensive coordinator, but above average head coach. I just call it like I see it. Got a great offensive mind.
Well, why are you calling him an average offense coordinator then?
He took Blake Sims
and won.
Yeah, he's a good offensive coordinator. Very, very good, if not great.
Yeah.
But he's not
last week, Bears complained about because you had a double reverse on the goal line. He confused me.
Yeah, he does make some crazy calls to make you scratch your head.
Yeah, that double reverse flea flicker was a
yeah, that was stupid.
Was a classic.
That was stupid. But, you can't do everything right.
Yeah, but we all have our moments. But I don't know. And no, Barry, he has not grown up. He's gotten older, but he has not grown up.
Why do y'all say that? Does Ole Miss have anything in this? I mean, they deadlined him. They said, we have to know Saturday. So what's he supposed to do?
They got to do that, dummy.
I understand that. But my point is, everybody says he should have just stayed there and coached it out.
Don't use that as something you try to bring up.
No, but I'm saying that they had to do that. And if he's going to take the LSU job, he had to go. So I don't know how he could have handled it any different, is my point.
That was the right call by Ole Miss, you know.
Yeah.
And the reason he left Ole Miss so quick is the same reason he left Tennessee so quick.
No, I agree. Ole Miss did the right thing. I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. So. But it's there. He'll be lucky if he lasts 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, the Death Valley, that's a place where coaches go for their careers to die now.
We'll see. I think with this money, they can buy a pretty good roster, so we'll see. Thank you, Dan.
Well, one more point, if I might add.
Yeah, go ahead.
It is a totally, totally different scenario, and you cannot think what you know past seasons on what it is now. Everybody's got good players. Everybody's got great coaches. Everybody's got great programs. But so, you know, parity is what it is.
I agree.
Vanderbilt and, you know, Indiana and all those guys. Same deal.
That's right.
Yeah, level playing field.
That's
y'all
right.
Take care, brother.
Thank you, Dan. All right, we get to break here. We got Tony, Jason, and Cowboy holding. We'll get to you guys when we get back. This is the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we got a little trouble now on McFarland as you move on the westbound lanes. Watch out for this accident right after. after Northbrook Drive and just before Hunter Creek Road. Now, Hunter Creek Road also has heavy delays on the southbound hookup to McFarland. And
radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at Wyatt.Fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Crimson Tide Today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in the country. Visit online at championslane.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Monday, Alabama women's basketball improved to 8-0 on the season with a dominant home win against Kennesaw State. Here are some of the highlights from the victory.
It's Naomi Jones. Hand off to Timmons. Timmons at the free throw line. Driving right side layup. Up off the window. It's in. Jessica Timmons leading the way with 19 points for Alabama. She makes it 65-53. Collins. Bounce pass right side lane. Lester fights her way in. Throws it up. No good off the window. An iron rebound. Costa. Costa works it back to a wide open Weathers. Left wing three. Switch. Carly Weathers makes it Alabama 70. Kennesaw State 57. Hand layup off the glass, rolls in, 79-65, Alabama 5 seconds left, inbounds pass to Collins, she will dribble out the final moments as Alabama improves to a perfect 8-0 on the season and wins in front of a lot of fifth graders at Coleman Coliseum. Final score, Alabama 79, Kennesaw State 65.
I'll have more in a moment. Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide! Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Forecasting gradual clearing today, the high at 48. A cold night tonight, clear with the low at 25. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 52. Thursday, cloudy and very cool. Some rain at times during the day, the high 48. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We knock out these phone calls to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, gentlemen. Barry, hey, it was a great interview, by the way, but a few things can be true at the same time. I do think Lane could have handled it differently. Number one, you tell your agent, hey, I am interested in the job, but I got to finish this. And if LSU can't wait, they can't wait, because he had a good job. He was making good money. He was going to be in the playoffs. He's made the playoffs more recent than LSU has. So I'm not saying LSU is a better job. It is a better job, or it can be, again, a better job. But the fact is they're the ones that fired their coach in the middle of the season, just like Auburn, just like Penn State, just like all these other teams did. You're not guaranteed to get who you want. And the fact is, he should have told his agent, I'm interested, I'll do it, but I cannot talk to LSU until after this season plays out. If they're worried about recruiting, they should have kept Brian Kelly on board, or Chip, whatever his name is. Because they're the ones that made the decision.
Obviously, he could have done that, but I'm saying if you decide you're going to take the LSU job, how could he have handled it differently? I don't think he could have done anything different.
You wait until after the season.
But Ole Miss deadlined him. They said they got no Saturday.
Well, okay. Well, how would Ole Miss know about it if he told his agent, hey, keep this, I don't want my name out there. He didn't, the president or the AD of Ole Miss didn't have to know about it. It was turned into a spectacle. And his agent's the one that floated his name out there to begin with.
I mean,
come on, Tony. We knew Florida and LSU were interested in Lane Kiffin. That wasn't no secret. His agent didn't have to float that out there.
Auburn was too.
Yeah.
Everybody was interested in Lane Kiffin. But you could always say, hey, this is where I'm coaching right now. We all know it's coach speak. But it's how you play the game. It's how you come across as being a coach and saying the things you're supposed to say. We all know, oh, well, you know, he's just saying the same old thing. But at least he's not going to. There was obvious interest there, and Ole Miss knew it. That's why they deadlined him.
Yeah, but
and had he not.
But if he wanted to take the job, he had to take it then. So there,
because of Ole Miss?
Because he wouldn't have gotten the job. Had he waited, they would have gone on and moved on and got somebody else. So he wouldn't have
I disagree with that, Barry. Why? Why would LSU move on? That's their number one. That's their number one. Why would they move on?
They wasn't
going to
move on.
Yeah, they were.
They would have waited.
Ole Miss wasn't going to let it. I mean, so he could have lied to Ole Miss and said, I'm staying. He could have lied to Keith Carter on Saturday and said, Keith, I'm staying. And then coached the season out and then went to LSU, but then everybody called him a liar.
Well, you're probably right. But again, he did what he said was best for him and his family.
Sure.
That's fine. That's cool. Whatever. But if it truly is Ole Miss's fault, then more needs to be brought in because he's getting beat up.
No, I don't blame Ole Miss. I'm just saying I don't blame Ole Miss for not letting him coach. I just don't know if Lane, if Nick Saban and those guys say, Lane, if you can go to LSU, you got to go. Then there was no other way to take the job than the way he did it. They weren't going to wait.
So do you actually believe that Nick Saban believes when he got on there and said, well, I think they ought to let him stay and coach through the playoffs? You think he actually believes that?
No, I don't think
Ole Miss should have.
No,
then why would he say that?
I just think he thought, hey, as far as winning national championships and recruiting and resources and all that, it's a no-brainer. You got to take the job. Put this season aside. I'm just talking about, in the future.
Oh, yeah, it's a fact.
I mean, don't you think
LSU's a better job?
I mean, he's probably peaked at Ole Miss. He's taking that job as far as you can take it. They may win it all this year.
That's it. The only other possibility is go undefeated.
And
play for a division or whatever. But, by the way, guys, before we get off this, what do y'all think of Clemson tomorrow night? Are they pretty good?
Yeah.
Basketball-wise?
Dad, Clemson, Alabama.
Guy can really coach, but players got to win the game. Alabama wins. I don't know what the point line is, but the guys are very, very good basketball coach. He knows the game, and he's doing awfully well over there in the football atmosphere. So
I think he'll play
Alabama well. I don't think he'll beat Alabama.
Do y'all think Michigan's the best team in the country?
So far, yeah.
Yeah, they
look
good.
Yeah.
All right, guys, y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Tony. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, Barry? Is this the Baton Rouge radio today?
I'm just kind of call as I see it.
Or Oxford radio. I don't know. I'm going to have to call out Tom. Nick Saban doesn't have a disdain for Alabama. Friend Shoney beat him down there. I believe you checked the record book. Or it's close to it in 2002 or 21-0. And the next year, Nick Saban won a national championship at LSU. He didn't leave after that and go to Miami. So he had two more years at LSU. The next year, he won the national championship. Nick Saban's record at LSU was 8-4, 10-3, 8-5, 12-13-1, and then his last year he went 9-4. So I don't know what Tom's talking about there, but I don't think Nick Saban has an Alabama problem.
No.
What do you think?
I agree. I think he got to the pros, realized he had made a mistake, and The best job out there was Alabama. And the timing for the Alabama job was perfect because they were down and they would get him whatever he wanted. And he was the perfect person to handle it.
Right. But I think Nick Saban will tell you Alabama, and I've said this, is a better football job than LSU any day of the week. Lane Kiffin knows it in his heart. Paul Feinbaum called him out in a way about that yesterday. You know, this whole thing's turned into a soap opera. I hope he does okay down there, but, you know, how could you walk out on the Ole Miss guys? But since this is a Tuscaloosa station, let's talk about Alabama-Georgia. Isn't that what this is supposed to be about this week?
Yeah, well, we can talk about whatever the callers want to talk about, but sure, we talked about that with Phillip. He says he thinks Alabama's going to win. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Taylor DeBoer 7-0 against Nick Saban disciples. You got to show me. I'm going to say it's 8-0 after Saturday.
Why? Why do you believe that?
The Nick Saban, he has a Nick Saban disciples number. He jumps them early, and he makes them fight uphill. They get back in the game, but it's kind of like in tennis. He service breaks them, you know, in two sets, and then they get back in it and put a lot of energy into it. Then the fifth set, he kind of hits them one last time with something he hit them in those first two sets, and they just can't have an answer for it.
Okay. We'll see. I hope you're right. I just think Alabama's beat up, but we'll see.
Yeah, do you think the playoff committee is trying to bunch all the SEC teams?
Oh, no, we'll know a lot about that playoff committee today, tonight. It's going to tell you a lot tonight. So,
yeah. Well, who you like in this Duke-Florida game tonight? And also, Barry, would you I kind of understand a little bit of what you're saying. You know, you say a style that's kind of physical power, like Purdue has, it's hard for Nate Oates basketball teams to beat. And then you talked about the Duke style. I understand the Purdue style. Talk about the Duke style of play a little bit.
It's not the Duke style. It's the Duke athletes. They can switch 1 through 5. So they can switch every screen, every ball screen, and you can't hurt them because of their big guys are so athletic that they can switch and still take the 3-ball away. Last year's team.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about with Cameron on the team this year?
Boozer?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't studied him. But, you know, the kid that's the Dallas Mavericks, Cooper Flagg, he could guard. He plays point guard. Yeah. He could guard anybody. So he switches his length, gives you body. But he's got enough quickness to keep the guy in front and contest three. So that's what I mean by that.
Yeah. Coach, who do you like to win that game tonight, Duke or Florida?
I studied it, but I forgot where it's played. Where is it played?
I think it's at Duke.
Oh, Duke.
Well, if it's at Duke,
I like Duke.
Yeah, it is at Duke. Duke's a 7.5-point favorite. If it's at Duke, you always bet Duke at Duke to win. I mean, I don't know if they'll cover, but they'll win. So, well, they should. They usually do.
I saw a little of John Summerall press conference last night. I think us at Alabama, we dodged a good bullet and Auburn not hiring him.
I agree.
He's got some fire to him.
He does. I agree.
But I did see him and his wife walking into the press conference, and I think she made a very fashion faux pas, if my eyes are correct. She had a red dress on.
Ooh. Maybe
they should have taken her to the local lady shop and got her a blue or orange dress.
Yeah. So, all right, Cowboy. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Be good, guys.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Drew?
Man, good morning. What did Lane Kiffin do to Kevin Skarbinski?
I don't know. There's a lot of hatred there, isn't there?
Did he make fun of him? Did he make fun of him in a press conference?
He did something.
And call him out in a press conference?
He did something.
You know, that was amusing. That was almost personal with Kevin. But, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Liked passion. But, you know, I couldn't agree with you more, Barry. That you know, all this talk about loyalty and that. I mean, it's a business. How many people, I guess, don't apply the same principles to their own careers, where they've say they're a salesperson, they've taken a job with a competitor who offers them more,
yeah,
and it's better opportunity for them to make more income. I mean, a lot of times it's not on your terms. Yeah, you'd like to close things out with your own client, but the opportunity's there at the competitors, and if you want the job, you got to take it then. I mean, and we'd all do that to better our families and better our incomes. And I don't understand how people can't see that in athletics, in college sports as well. I mean, I'm with you. I can't fault Lane Kiffin. I think he wanted the right thing.
It's the case just gone on and on and on with Tennessee and the pros. Everywhere. It's been over and over and over and over and over. I can see where they don't understand.
Well, but you know, like the Tennessee, the one job he had left for opened, USC. You know, that's where he's from. So it just the timing of these things, sometimes you can't help them. Now, you got fired at USC, but I mean, if that's your dream job and it opens and they want to hire you, you going to tell them no because you've been at Tennessee 1 year? I'm asking.
What you do is make it up as you go.
Huh? I mean, there's a certain – that's the only job I think he would have left Tennessee for at that time was USC. So it didn't work, though.
Well, I think eventually the, you know, college football will catch up with the business world, and we'll see, you know, something like tampering or non-competes. Because, I mean, in the business world, if your sales guy goes in and starts taking – athletes, you know, taking clients to the next job and to a competitor, they sue you for a non-compete or whatever you have. I mean, there's protection there for the former employer, and I think that we'll see that, you know, down the road, not probably to the same degree, but there'll be some sort of, you know, period for interviewing coaches or whatever. But, you know, college football is always different. Years your late
son,
catch up.
It's been totally different if your sons have been on the Ole Miss team. Both of you have a different opinion.
Yeah.
Sure. No, I would agree to that.
So. Two more things. One about Auburn, then back to Alabama. Did Auburn only hire Golish because he's the only candidate they could find who doesn't play golf?
I don't think he was their first choice. Let's put it that way. Dad would know better than me. I mean,
well, I've got John Cohen's on Thursday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, look forward to hearing from him.
Yeah. So, anything else, Drew?
And then lastly, Ryan Williams. Tell me about Ryan Williams. Why? I know Kalen DeBoer said don't read into it, but
I think sometimes, I don't know this. I think sometimes you get a pile of money, you have so much success, your work ethic. And I think these other guys are just playing better, so they're playing the best players. So, we're basing Ryan Williams off of last year. And then he kind of tailed off last year. And I think Horton and Bernard and these other guys are just playing better. So they're playing the best players, my thoughts on that.
The only stat line that is higher for Ryan Williams this year than last year, only stat line that's higher is the number of drop balls he's had.
There you go.
No other stats higher.
And he must be dropping them in practice too. So thank you, Drew.
Yeah. Roll Tide.
All right, Jason, hold on. We'll take the break here. We got the vinegar tip coming. We'll get to Jason. Let's talk about Bryant Bank before we get to break.
Bryant Bank, outstanding, as I talk about it all the time, and a bank that you can trust, and you know the people that work there and run the show, and you can go in and be recognized and known very, very quickly. Bryant Bank is you have your personal and business accounts as well, and bank online around the clock, as well as knowing that your banking money is safe. So go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard it inside of Auckland.
All right, we'll take the break here. Listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Got a little busy on McFarland, and you are are dealing with a couple of accidents still. First, on the eastbound lanes near 15th Street, that's been pushed to the shoulder. And McFarland westbound near Hunter Creek Road, that crash is blocking the right turn lane. McFarland again, eastbound after Academy Drive, you got a fender bender sitting on that shoulder. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
6829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good.
Well, welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. They'll bring you this vinegar tip for this Tuesday, 205-752-8500. What do we got this morning?
Well, these guys are telling me they got flies in their yards, different places around the water or wherever, and the flies are just eating up the, just driving on crazy in the yards. They can't get out without having to get some kind of repellent. This is going to be a lot, but you could combine 4 cups of apple cider vinegar, which is a lot, with 20 drops of rosemary or basil or peppermint oils. 4 cups is a lot. A squirt of dish soap, soap that you, whatever you wash your dishes with, and 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil. I put this in a spray bottle. It's got to be a pretty big spray bottle, I guess. But put this in a spray bottle, of course, shake it up really good, and put it in the areas where the flies are frequent. This not only will stop the flies from swarming around you, but also will make the smell around the area much better. And it's perfect for outdoor spaces. It's the reason that I guess you've got so much oil and stuff in there, so your spray bottle's going to be big. But if you want to get rid of those flies, then that's what it does.
There you go. So that's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Jason?
What's up? It's freezing out here. What's going on, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, quick question. Now I got 3 or 4 quick. Does that spray bottle for that vinegar, does that come with a backpack? Like, just even carry on your back?
No.
That's extra.
You
got to
carry it in your hand.
That's extra.
You got to carry it in your hand. Okay. Listen, we're allowed to comment on your guest, correct?
Sure.
Kevin, so when Kevin Skarbinski, like, chicken tenders or tacos or whatever, when he's eating, do you think he puts one in each hand that he's feeding both mouths that he's talking out of, or just one at a time?
You think he was...
Let me tell you this. Skarbinski, I know you're not listening. What you said, first of all, Nick Saban to be compensated for on a coaching search, that's an absolute joke.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that one bit.
I agree.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, he just said people were writing that. He didn't agree with it.
Yeah. Okay, well, all right, look, I'm not a coach. Y'all been coaches. And this is what, and Barry's touched on it, but none of the callers. I haven't seen crucifying people on social media unless it's political, but I don't blame Lane Kiffin. I don't blame Ole Miss for their decision, nor do I blame LSU. The calendar is an absolute joke.
Agree.
I believe this is what I wish, and I know it never happened. The NFL, if you want to fire a coach in the middle of the season like we do all the time in college football, that's fine. Name an intern, Pete Golding, for example. He was the intern for about 5 minutes, and then they made him the permanent coach. My thing is this. Why not make it simple? If Auburn, Ole Miss, not Ole Miss, I'm sorry, Auburn, LSU, whoever fires a coach in midseason, you can name an interim coach. That's fine. You got to have one. But you can't name a head coach, or you can't offer a job. You can't do either. Transfer portal, signing day, whatever. Make it to when it's – make it completely when the college football playoff is done and there's no confusion. So the system failed college football, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you can't do that. You can't do that, though, because the college football season does not – end until like January 18, 19, 20, wherever that. In school, the second semesters have already started. So if these guys are transferring, they got to get to the schools that they're going to. If these guys are early.
I get 100%. I get that. Then why not make it earlier or change something to make it not coincide with everything else? Because you got to admit, which you've already said this, Lane was put in a bad spot here.
Sure. Yeah. It was. So, I mean, I think you could say a couple weeks later, until you get to the semifinals of the playoffs, then you can hire your coaches or whatever and move the signing days in the portal and all that back. But they're firing these guys now 5-6 games into the season, and then they got the signing date tomorrow. Their hands are tied. They got to get a coach in. So, anyway.
That's right.
All right, buddy.
See y'all.
See ya. All right. We know we stirred people up. We get this guy calling. Back to the Yellow What Hotline, Coach Bobby Sproul. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, Bobby. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Bobby. I hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving.
How much money did you spend at Disney World?
Oh, my God.
I told you.
It was worth it, though. to see the faces of the kids, man, it was great. It hadn't changed in 20 years, other than the price goes up.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I had to put Coach on the spot right now. Coach, I need you to be my special guest Sunday at our Christmas dinner for our baseball team at Shelton at 4 o'clock, if you can make it. I'll even have Jack chauffeur you.
Okay. If I can make it, I will.
You want... All right, 4 o'clock. If you can make it, yeah. Hey, I'd love for you to have there because I just feel like I've learned so much from you over the years on how to handle kids. Understand that kids need a path forward rather than just let them do what they want. And I learned that from you just sitting there watching you when I was coaching in Alabama. I'd watch some of your practices, and it was amazing what you did.
You may want to have him help you coach the pitcher, Coach. You know, he coached a JV game in Alabama, and the same day they played a doubleheader, back-to-back no-hitters. Did you know that?
Hey, no, I didn't know that, but I'd love to have him sit in the dugout with
me. You ever coached back-to-back no-hitters? You ever in no, your thousands no. of wins, have you ever coached back-to-back no-hitters?
No, I haven't, boy. That's a good job of coaching there. Hey,
I think they gave up 6 runs, but they didn't give up any hits. So,
I need your dad to sit in the dugout with me one time, and we'll get on these umpires together.
There you go. Poor umpires.
Hey, I just wanted to call and invite him, and I didn't mean to put him on the spot like this, but I'd love for him to come and come to our Christmas dinner. It lasts about an hour and a half, and it's a good meal. And if he wants to come, we'll take care of everything.
You tell Jack he needs to chauffeur him. You tell him, Coach.
I'll tell Jack he needs to definitely chauffeur him. Speaking of Jack, and I didn't call for this reason, but what an impressive kid that guy is. He could play on any team I had, no matter what level. He's just a great teammate, a great player. One of the hardest workers I've ever had. And you know what? It's paying dividends because the guy has gotten better and better. And we're expecting a big year out of him this year.
Well, I appreciate right. you guys working with.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coach Bobby Sproul. All right. We stirred him up this morning. Of course, I believed everything that I said. And Dad's mad at Lane Kiffin for going. So you wouldn't have taken the LSU job if you were Lane Kiffin?
No, I'm not mad at him for going. I'm mad at him because I pretty much know what he is. Whatever.
Yeah. Well,
he's jumped everywhere he's been.
But When he was at Tennessee, do you didn't think he should have taken the USC job?
No, I'm not sure the timing. If the timing
was bad, timing was not great. But and then he goes Florida Atlantic to Ole Miss. Now, how he handled here with Coach Saban, where he had to fire him for the national championship game, that's pitiful. That's pitiful. So I would agree.
Florida Atlantic, you know, he takes Florida Atlantic for a while, does well, then he walks out on them.
I mean, but he went to Ole Miss, to the SEC, probably quadrupled his pay.
Well, he gets better and better. Ohio State calls him, he'll be up there.
Yeah. All right, that's it. We'll get out of here. But we want to thank Brian Hart Construction. The Blue Plate Special will come later on this week. And when you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. Brian Hart Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel, 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family-owned, woman-led, Brian Hart Construction, 205-759-1337. Chase, appreciate you, my man. Enjoyed the phone calls. We had our normal callers, but a lot of new callers as well. So we appreciate you guys calling us. Make that a regular thing. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.